Thank you, Mr. Chair. Defining feature of armed conflicts over the last decades has been the use of weapons systems capable of delivering massive explosive force from afar, causing effects over a wider area. When explosive weapons with a wide impact area are used against military objectives located in a populated area, there's a significant likelihood of excessive effects with often devastating consequences for civilians. In addition to causing immediate death, injury, and destruction to civilians and to civilian objects, the use of heavy explosive weapons in populated areas typically generate reverberating effects on civilians when critical civilian infrastructure is incidentally damaged or destroyed. The issue of the use of explosive weapons with wide area effects in urban areas concerns all states, not just parties to ongoing armed conflicts. The types of weapons of concern are found in the arsenals of most armed forces, and urban warfare is becoming the new normal. That is the reason why Germany raised the issue of explosive weapons in populated areas at the fifth review conference to this convention with a view to having it on the agenda. In order to inform debates about this pressing humanitarian issue, the International Committee of the Red Cross and Germany jointly organized a workshop on the topic focusing on the humanitarian, technical, legal, and military considerations relevant to the use of explosive weapons in urban areas and the different ongoing efforts toward a better protection of civilians. As a concrete output from the workshop and to summarize the discussion, we submitted a brief report as a working paper for this conference. In addition, a second working paper presents an independent study on a more technical angle, taking a look at military practices. There's a lot to discuss. Please allow me to highlight a couple of issues. IHL, how does apply the general rules in an urban setting? The use of explosive weapons is regulated by the rules of IHL, applying to the conduct of hostilities, notably the prohibition of indiscriminate attacks, as well as the prohibitions on area bombardment and of excessive incidental loss of civilian life, injury to civilians, or to civilian objects. The civilian harm caused by the use of explosive weapons in urban areas raises serious questions regarding how parties to armed conflicts are interpreting and applying these IHL rules in practice. High contracting parties may want to have a dialogue on how the above-mentioned legal obligations are being applied and integrated into military policies and practices. Secondly, technical aspects of explosive weapons. How does the urban environment affect the choice of weapons and targeting? The accuracy and precision of the weapons of concern differ greatly, and so does the explosive yield. Indirect fire weapons, such as artillery and mortars, are generally much more inaccurate than direct fire. Area weapons, such as artillery rockets, are specifically designed to deliver effects over a large area. The measures to enhance control of the ammunition's effect are known to most regular armed forces, but raising awareness to the specific effects in build-up areas, which could be another area of potential exchange amongst high contracting parties to raise awareness of the effects of explosive weapons. Thirdly, reverberating effects, how to factor in secondary and tertiary damage. Urban contexts pose unique challenges with respect to the targeting and to the protection of civilians, with implications for both those participating in military operations and for humanitarian actors. Beyond the direct harm to the civilian population, fighting can also destroy or disrupt essential civilian infrastructure that people in cities rely on to survive, including water, health, electrical, and sanitation services. Considering that urban services are system-based, the initial effect of explosive weapons in populated areas can trigger humanitarian consequences that affect a much larger part of the population than those in the immediate vicinity of the impact zone. The vulnerability of essential services is further compounded by their interconnectedness. In effect, damage to one service can have knock-on effects for other services. Warfare in urban areas is inherently complex with a multitude of sensitive sites in theater. However, not all infrastructure is critical in nature, and high contracting parties may wish to share different approaches on how to factor in reverberating effects in their proportionality assessment. Fourth, military aspects. how to best translate theory into military practice. From a military operational side, it is key to translate IH rules into military practice. The legal rules established by IHL are to be fully integrated into every stage of the targeting process, as met by many regular armies like the German Bundeswehr, for example, by further constraining the operational freedom by additional rules of engagement. Additionally, the targeting process itself, that is based on methodology, calculus, precise ammunition, and of the responsibilities of the designated target engagement authorities. Legal, policy, technology, intelligence, and the fact of questioning data and information are key for applying the principle of distinction. Furthermore, every attack relies on a complex decision-making process and on a highly standardized process to mitigate the risks of collateral damage. In this context, we should, however, also be aware of humanitarian military operations in order to protect civilians and their infrastructure against violations. While already the presence of military protection forces being a target might endanger those civilians, this must not be compromised efforts. This also covers the use of explosive weapons that, used in full conformity with IHL, might also cause collateral damage and humanitarian harm. A discussion of the transposition of IHL into practical steps in the targeting cycle might help the high contracting parties to identifying best practices. Fifth, last not least, humanitarian cost. How to afford the necessary care to victims. The use of explosive weapons with wide area effects in populated areas is a major humanitarian problem which causes a distinct pattern of harm. When explosive weapons are used in populated areas, statistically, about 90% of casualties are civilians. Additionally, this widespread use of explosive weapons in populated areas is a leading cause of forced displacement. Faced with the loss of their livelihood, exposure to extreme poverty, lack of access to services, and the continual threat of bombing and shelling, hundreds of thousands of people make the heartbreaking decision to leave their homes. This raises the question how the high contracting parties can best respond to the humanitarian need and assist victims. With these questions in mind, we propose to organize an expert meeting within the CCW over the course of the next year and put the topic on next year's meeting of the state's parties. We will provide language in writing. And last not least, we hope to be able to discuss this issue as you have proposed, Mr. Chairman, under its proper item, emerging issues in the CCW. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.